Have you heard of Paddington Bear? Yeah? Have you heard of Paddington? Yeah? Okay. Anyone here never heard of Paddington Bear? I can lend you the book, but it's in Romanian, so... I was reading a book the other day called Paddington at the Carnival. And Paddington went to a part of London called Little Venice. It's at the junction of the Grand Union Canal and the Regent's Canal. And as you know, probably a canal is kind of like a river. It was a very special day because there was a carnival with lots of activities, lots of people and lots of boats. Paddington decided to take part in what was known as the Busy Bee Adventure Trail. The idea was to find as many things as possible. You know, you had to be able to see them. As many things as possible, beginning with the letter B. And he was very good at it, and he wrote a long list of words beginning with B. So for sure, he could see a boat that begins with B, so he wrote it down. And there was a boy there, so he wrote down boy. There was a broom leaning up against a wall somewhere, so he wrote down broom. And there was a barbecue. He could see some bananas and balloons. And there was even a man playing a banjo. So he wrote down all these words beginning with B. Soon he had 41 words on his list. And when the time came to decide on the winner, one of the judges asked, "Has anyone found more than 40 words?" Paddington shouted out excitedly, "Me! I have got 41 words." But just then a boy also shouted out, "Me! He also had got 41 words." But here was the thing. Then someone noticed that the boy's words were all exactly the same as Paddington's words. The same words in the same order. Yes, the boy had been following Paddington and had copied all of his words. Bit of a difficult situation, yeah? Well, when the judge heard that both Paddington and the boy had 41 words, he said in that case he would just have to cancel the competition and there would be no winner. I can see you frowning. You're thinking it's a shame. It's wrong. But just then, Paddington shouted out, "It's all right. I've won. I've got another B, which gives me 42 words. What word do you think that he had thought of? Another word that begins with B. Bear. Yeah? But why had it taken him so long to think of the word bear? And what made him think of it at that very last minute? Because he saw his reflection in the water. That's right, when he looked in the water, he saw his reflection. It was just like looking in a mirror. He saw a bear in the water, and he wrote down the word bear. Now the thing is, he looked at himself, and he acted upon what he saw. And our key verse today talks about looking in a mirror and acting upon what we see. So we are in James chapter 1 and verse 23. And James tells us this: anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. We need to ask ourselves the question, are we listening to the word of God? Are we doing what it says? We're going to keep coming back to that question this morning. Let's have our next slide, please. looking at our face in a mirror and what? If we read or hear the word of God from the Bible, but ignore what it says, we are just like a person who looks at their face in a mirror, but ignores what they look like. The word of God shows us so many things. It shows us that God is holy. It shows us that by contrast we are sinful. It shows us that God loves us. It shows us that Jesus has died in our place. It shows us that we can become part of his kingdom if we confess our sin and turn to him. It shows us that we can become part of God's new covenant. That is God's plan here on earth and for eternity. And it teaches us a new way of relating to God and to his people, the church. But if we listen to the word, the Bible, but do not do what it says, we are like someone who has been eating tomato ketchup, aren't we? We are. Someone who has been eating tomato ketchup and who looks in the mirror and sees that they have tomato ketchup all over their face, but they decide not to wash it off, fooling themselves that it looks okay. Do you realize how ridiculous that would be? If we think that we are cool when we have tomato ketchup all over our face, we are ridiculous and we are deceiving ourselves. And the Bible says that if we read or listen to the word of God, but do not apply it to our hearts and to our lives, and we don't do what it says, then we are deceiving ourselves. Let's have another look at these verses. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We've got two words beginning with D here. Deceived or doing. Are we going to be deceived and just do our own thing anyway? Or are we going to look into the word as into a mirror and do what the word tells us? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed by what they do. This is what James is telling us, right? But what does Jesus tell us? Let's move on, please, to our next slide. You see, I think that Jesus says something very similar in Matthew chapter 7. Just to be aware that Matthew chapter 7, this is the closing part of Matthew chapter 7. Remember, Matthew 5, 6 and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount, the three chapters. And Jesus is giving loads and loads of teaching. And the great thing about his teaching is you can read the whole thing and apply it. You can dip in here or dip in there. You can look at a certain subject, see what God says on that subject. But the key thing is, you don't just read it or listen if you've been there on that day on the mountain. You don't just listen, you apply it and you do what Jesus says. And Jesus summarizes by saying in verse 24, for this reason, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Remember, some of you remember that children's song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. But in a sense, the one who heard Jesus and put those words into practice is the one who built his house upon the rock. And that's why he was deemed as wise. He wasn't wise to start with. He was wise because he heard and he put into practice. And about that man who hears the words and puts it into the practice, who is like a wise man who built a house on a rock, we read that the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But of course, by contrast, there are plenty of people who hear the words of God and don't put them into practice. And Jesus addresses them, saying, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. James has been saying to us, we've got to look into the Word of God as if we were looking into a mirror, and we've got to do what the Word of God is reflecting back to us. We need to hear the Word of God and put it into practice. But you see, Jesus has already given us a whole load of teaching, 3 chapters worth, a day conference on the mountainside. Jesus has been the keynote speaker, probably the only speaker. He's been talking about things like the need to be humble, the benefits of being meek, the fact that God desires us to be merciful, the fact that God is looking for people who are pure in heart, the fact that peacemakers will inherit the earth, the fact that we live in a pretty tasteless society. You listen to humour on the TV, right? And it's tasteless. It's foul. But we are being called to be like salt in a tasteless world. Halloween is just around the corner. There's plenty of darkness at this time of year, as throughout the whole year. And Jesus is calling us to be light in those places where darkness dwells. Jesus has been teaching in these 3 chapters about, of course, murdering is terrible, but hating someone is just as bad. Adultery. But you shouldn't even look lustfully. There's a whole thing about God's attitude towards divorce. There's a section on swearing. What sort of language we should be using? There's this thing about revenge. Do we get our own back or not? There's a section on love, giving, praying, fasting. In these 3 chapters, we get challenged our attitude towards wealth. And sort of together with that, anxiety. Judging others. Asking God. Choosing the narrow gate. And watching out for false preachers, false teachers, false prophets, false doctrines. And at the end of this, Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. I know that some people love to go to every meeting in their own church and all the meetings in other churches as well, and they watch all the TV channels as well, and they're consuming the sermons and so on and so on. But Jesus is saying in this passage, if you hear the words but you don't do it, you might as well just come to church next week with tomato ketchup on your face. Is that right? Let's move on to our next slide, because you see, the thing is that Jesus taught with such authority. You see, I think people took notice when Jesus spoke because he talked like unlike other people. In fact, we've got it here, look, in Matthew 7, just verse 28, 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? Because he taught as one who had authority, and he didn't teach as their teachers of the law. You see, Jesus wasn't legalistic, was he? He was full of grace and love. The way the teachers of the law spoke, it was as if to say, you guys are condemned, you're guilty, and there's no hope. But Jesus was the one who touched those who were ill, who forgave sins, who brought hope. When it came to Jesus, it was worth listening to him. It was worth being amazed, and it was worth doing what he said, because Jesus taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So it is worth looking into the Word of God and doing what it says. We move on to our next slide. We'll see that not only did Jesus teach as one who had authority, but Jesus always made it very clear that he taught and acted also as one who was under authority. I think you see, this is the thing. If you look at ministries around the world, if people are preaching and speaking and teaching their own ideas and their own agenda, you want to be really cautious and really careful. When the disciples found Jesus in John chapter 4 and they wanted to give him some sandwiches that they bought at Londis, he said, nah, I'm not hungry. And they're surprised, and Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, I'm not on a par with that. I mean, I get home from church on a Sunday morning, or in fact when we go through next door. I know you sugar people, as in you anti-sugar people, will have a go at me, but you know, I just want to have one of them cakes. I'm hungry. But Jesus says, no. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you see that Jesus, he taught as one who had authority because he taught as one who was under authority. He didn't do his own will. He didn't do his own agenda. And that links into our next slide, please. Because Jesus did what the Father did. Jesus understood the heart of his Father. Should we not be asking God, just as we said earlier on, open my eyes, Lord. I want to understand your heart. I want to see the things that you see and in the way that you see these things. I read on the BBC this morning that dear Wokingham has got a problem with graffiti, and they're going to be asking parents to talk to their kids and say behave. Yeah? Because of graffiti. Do we understand the heart of God? Do we see things the way he sees them? When we look at people doing bad things, making graffiti, vandalizing places, and so on, do we see them with the condemnation of the Pharisees? Or do we see them with the love and the grace of God? Do we see them with God's heart that says, there is an alternative? You can find meaning in this life. You don't have to destroy things and break things. You can come to your Father God, who loves you. You can come home. If you do that, we'll kill the fatted calf. We'll have a barbecue. We'll have a barn dance. We'll have a celebration. You don't need to be trashing benches. You're woken up. You can come to the living God. But the church of God, we, his people, are not going to be reaching out to others unless God touches our heart and changes our heart so that we start to see things the way God sees them. Look at this, John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son," that is Jesus, "the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus doesn't go out on a Monday morning and say, "Let me see what I'm going to do today." No. He's asking his Father, "What are you doing? Who are you touching? Who are you calling? Who are you wanting to draw? That's the one I want to be speaking with today." What a transformation, my friends, if we would start praying and saying, "Oh God, would you touch my heart? Would you show me where and what and who and how and when you want to work? Could I have the privilege of popping along with you, Lord? Could I sit on the passenger seat and observe?" And you might be surprised. God might say, "You talk to this one." Yeah. You see, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. And yes, he will show him even greater words than these. So you will be amazed. My friends, do you want to be amazed? Do we want to be amazed? Then we need to get it that Jesus did what the Father did. And Jesus is calling us to tune into what he wants for our lives. Let's move on to our next slide, please. Yeah, you see, Jesus came to fulfill the word of God, not to abolish the law and the prophets. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, "Guys, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant stuff. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." I tell you what, Jesus did not change Scripture. Jesus fulfilled Scripture. So we need to be very aware of anyone today who says, "Well, I know the Bible says that, but I know the Bible says that, but." As a teenager, I went to the Christian Rock Festival, Greenbelt, as probably some of you did as well. And they were celebrating their 50th anniversary, and I was watching something about this on the TV. And they interviewed a guy, one of the artists, who said something about God saying, "Yes, whoever he or she is." You know? Don't change Scripture. And don't listen to people who change Scripture. Because if you do, I don't know where. I don't know what will happen as a result. I mean, changing Scripture is just so dangerous. Jesus says, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And I thought, moving on to our next slide, let's have a quick look at a case study. A man who heard the word of God and did not do what he was told. Are we moving on to the next slide? Yeah, thank you. So we're talking about, of course, dear Jonah. How many of you would like to admit that you have at times behaved like Jonah? Just raise a hand or half a hand. Yeah. If you think you've ever behaved like Jonah. You see, look at this. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole story, just the first three verses. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai." I mean, this account couldn't have been clearer. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. You and I, pretty much, we have to go to the word. We have to take it off the shelf and read it. Or flick through on our phone and get to it. Or go to a meeting like this and hear the word. But on this occasion, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. I guess it was delivered by Amazon or one of those companies. Word of the Lord was delivered to Jonah. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness that has come up before me. And verse 3. But Jonah ran away. I don't think he was saying, I don't believe this is the word of the Lord. I don't think it was that he was going through his concordances and his, what do they call those other things? Commentaries and so on. He wasn't going through his books and saying, I'm not sure this is really is the word of the Lord. I'm not going to do it. No, he knew it was the word of the Lord. And what did he do? He ran away. He ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Do we hear the word of the Lord? James is saying to us, Jesus is saying to us, when you hear the word of the Lord, put it into practice. Do what it says. Jonah heard the word of the Lord, and like so often we are, Jonah ran away from the Lord. We'll move on, please, Divine, to the next slide. And I want to go back to really what we're talking about. Just remind ourselves of these key verses. Looking at our face in the mirror and what? Listening to the word of God and doing what it says. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forgets what they look like. How absurd is that, my friends? How ridiculous? What is the point? Why behave that way? Now, sometimes you might have tomato ketchup on your face and be unaware of it because you are not looking in a mirror. And if the person sitting opposite you at the table notices, they will say, oh, you know, they don't actually say, do they? They just tap their face and you, oh, and you wipe your face. But how absurd if you're looking in the mirror and say, I'll leave it like that. Because a few days will become a few weeks. A few weeks will become a few years. I want to ask you a question. Let's move on to the next slide. How does this affect our new covenant life? What do you think? You'll notice there's no verse of scripture up there. So I'm asking you. If we're going to look into the word of God and not ignore it, but instead do what it says, how is that going to affect our new covenant life? We're called to be the people of God. We're called into the kingdom of God. How will looking at the word and doing what it says, how will that change our relationships with God? How will it change our relationships with each other? I want short answers, please, not sad. Short answers. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. 10 maximum. How will it change our... We went through Matthew 5, 6 and 7. We didn't open the Bible, but I went through all the stuff there. How will it affect our new covenant life if we don't only read the Bible? Word of God actually put it into practice. What things will change? Relationship with God. Okay. We're going to be challenged. Okay. Let's get into some specific things we might be challenged about. Attitude towards wealth. Okay, thank you. that's if we look into the word and don't do what it says, yeah? So, yeah, I think I might mean if we looked at the word and did do what it said. So I'll turn it around. So you're saying, yeah, so yet we would then start doing things like forgiveness, behaving differently to the world. Yeah. Okay, what other things? We will grow, we'll be transformed. Church organist. How we spend our time. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. These sort of 10 words come. Every, those answers annoy you, don't they? Every area of our lives will be transformed. Amen, brother. Amen. What I did, I copied some verses that are on our website. Because I think here are some examples of things that will change. Let's move on. Can we please, Divine? Here are some examples. If we're going to look into the Word of God and really do what it says, surely we're going to start by loving one another. We do love each other, don't we? But Jesus is calling us to love one another. He loved his disciples to the point of washing their feet. He loved his disciples to the point of going to the cross. Serve one another. You know what often happens? People say, yeah, I want to serve in the church. Thank God, we want people to serve in the church. But may I just ask you, are you serving the Lord? Or are you serving your own ego? Are you serving the Lord? Are you serving your own agenda? Do you want to be the sort of person that will always do things your way when others are saying, can we not do it that way instead? Be kind and compassionate to one another. I will tell you something that hopefully you won't believe, but I actually think most of you will believe. Sometimes people in churches can be the most unkind and the most uncompassionate. So much so that you can have an experience where you get home from church and it's just been horrible, whatever it was that person said, and then your pagan next door neighbour smiles to you and offers you some raspberries off their bush or something, and you're thinking, why can't the people of God be loving and kind like my pagan neighbour? You know, I think this is a real challenge. Let's look into the mirror of the Word of God and see what's reflecting back at us. Can we move on, please? Encourage one another. I tell you what, sometimes our brothers and sisters can be so encouraging, but you know that they can also be so discouraging. Let's look into the mirror. Let's look into the Word of God. Let's do what it says and let's encourage one another. Before you go and talk to someone, take your words as if it was a pot of tea and pour it through the strainer and see what lumps you might need to remove. Next one. Where am I? Have you skipped forward? It's the sweeper page. So you, yeah, encourage. Offer. That's the one. That's great. Now, offer hospitality. Is that right? Yeah. Offer hospitality to one another. I used to go and visit this lady, and from the church, and she would say, "Take a seat if you can find one." House was an absolute mess. But you know what? That's not offering hospitality. And Jesus says, offer hospitality to one another. And I've heard people say, I won't invite you to my home because it's so untidy. That's an excuse. It's not a reason. The Word of God is saying, offer hospitality to one another. You know, we offer hospitality as a church. Once a month, on a Thursday. People in Great Holland, they don't need free meals. What they want is love. What they want is to get to know people. And for years we've been saying to the church, come to the lunch club and meet the world. We're offering them hospitality. It's great because there's this little tweak with it. We offer them hospitality, but they pay for their own food. It's clever, isn't it? But the church doesn't want to get to know the people. And do you know what? I want to make this appeal. Do you know what I would love if someone would be willing to phone me or send me a text or an email the day before the lunch club and say, "Hi, Mark, I'm really sorry I can't be with you, but I'm praying for you." You know what? Because we say we want the lost to come to know the Saviour. But when we put on an event and say, "Church, come and meet world," church says we don't want to. Now I know it's Thursday, 12:30, you might be at work, you might not be able to. But if you are, and if you're not, get behind us in prayer. Next one, please. Confess your sins to each other. You know what? What would make a start? When there are little disagreements in church, in family, little upsets. What about us being the first to say, "I was out of order. I'm sorry." What a change that would make. This is again one of those areas where sometimes the world, the pagans, are ahead of the church. The pagans would hold their hands up and say, "I admit, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that." Confess your sins to each other. And the next one links into it. Stop passing judgment on one another. If we were to confess when we were wrong, we probably wouldn't need to pass judgment on each other. The two link in together, don't they? Forgive one another. This one really is a two-way street, isn't it? Do I ask to be forgiven? Do I release forgiveness? And then we've got, do not lie to each other. Let me ask you a question. In what way do we as believers lie to each other?
That's a good one, isn't it?
In what way do we lie to each other? Come on, share that. Pretending, yeah? Pretending. Like that came in the verse from the very beginning, didn't it? About, you know, doing the word, not deceiving ourselves. Pretending, yeah? I'll leave that one with you. I think we do lie to each other. We pretend to be more holy than we are. We pretend to be more devoted than we are. I was talking to another pastor just yesterday, this Friday, and we were talking about when people say, "Oh, can you pray about this? And can you pray about that?" And how, you know, we both sort of say, you know, if we say we'll pray about something, I want to go and do it straight away. You may have heard me say that sometimes to Gavin, to say, you know, I'm on the phone to someone, say, "Okay, well, when I put the phone down, I'll go and find Gavin and we'll pray for you." Because if I do it now, I know I've done it. You know, that sort of idea of promising, and you're not. Let's move on to the next one. Don't grumble against each other. Do you know grumbling is really horrible? Did anyone ever tell you that? Did you know that grumbling ruins relationships? Submit to one another. That's a hard one, right? But did we not see that Jesus spoke as one who had authority, and Jesus is the one who operated under authority? And when we submit ourselves to God, as James tells us in another place, when we submit ourselves to God, when we submit ourselves to each other, we're actually preparing the ground for God to do miracles, change lives, transform situations. as we close, let's remind us the key verse we've been talking about all morning. Let us listen to the word and let us do what it says. Let us not be like the kid with chocolate spread on his face who refused to wash it off. Amen.